We took a trip up to Northern California to a facility that's a boarding school for troubled teens, as well as a facility that rehabilitates girls that have been rescued from sex trafficking. And we took in a lot of donations. We had a lot of people gave us clothes, a lot of people gave us makeup and all kinds of good stuff. And when we were up there, we partnered with Crossroads Covenant out in Concord. And their team came up and they did structural repairs while we were there at the facility. And our team primarily focused on relationships and building connections with the girls there. We got to work both with the boarding school girls and we call them the B3 girls, the girls that have been rescued from sex trafficking. B3 is the dorm that they stay in. So as we come home and kind of decompress from all of that, we don't say their names, so we refer to them as the B3 girls. It's not like a distant, insensitive thing. It's for their safety and protection. But there were a lot of really deep-rooted connections made. We had a really, really great time. We received so much support from people at this end, people at Edgewater, people from Hillside, people from the community that just came by. I can't even tell you guys, a couple times I had an envelope pop through my mailbox in our front door that said for New Day, and it had money inside of it for the trip, and we exceeded our goal of raising $700, almost double. So we were able to have the trip covered, supplies covered, gas covered. It was phenomenal. So I'm going to let them talk about some of their favorite highlights of the trip. I don't know.
When Karen made a call out to just Facebook friends and people in general, it really started to kind of wake me up a little bit to realize that, you know, I shouldn't be surprised, but this is an issue that's important and deep for people, not just within the church. This is all kinds of people who care about women, who care about, you know, issues of abuse and stuff like that. And so it really was, there really was a lot of people who feel very strongly about what's being done there. And it was great for us to just be able to be a part of bridging and understanding and hearing some stories. Karen was especially good at just kind of talking and getting to know a lot of these girls. And it was a good time for me just seeing how similar it is doing ministry with just youth ministry kind of stuff with these girls, because they're teenagers. You know, they care about a lot of stuff. They're not defined completely by, you know, the worst part of their life.
I think one of all of our favorite moments was we got a chance to just do some fun stuff, and we did karaoke at one point, as well as some freestyle rap. We just handed the mic out and Josiah dropped some beats and we attempted it. He is the only one who's good at it, by the way, in case you were wondering. Actually, Ezra was pretty good at it too. But I really enjoyed that as the girls and us were singing, just the spirit of celebrating them and like, oh, that was awesome, that was great, oh. And one of the girls, she got up there and just started like talking out as fast as she could, just like slinging out her story and like bad relationship and like, no, he can't treat me like that anymore. And the other girls were like, no, he can't. It was really fantastic just to see that affirmation, like how they're building a culture of supporting each other up there. And I also loved Naomi is one of our more quiet ones, and she's fantastic. She just sat with one of the girls and just drew with her and looked at her poetry and just spent all this quality time with her. And they both have very beautiful little tiny petite hands. And so the girl at one point put her hand against Naomi's and was like, oh my gosh, like our hands look exactly the same. It's like we're sisters. And Naomi was like, yeah, that's awesome. And so just that moment of seeing them feel celebrated and loved and just be teenagers was pretty amazing.
A lot of our pictures, I'm sure you've noticed, don't include anybody's faces. Well, except Josiah's there. It's a great one. Because we can't bring home pictures of their faces. But the connections we made were so, so incredibly special. And something that was kind of interesting and so valuable that we had Josiah and Kennedy, one of our girls, Kennedy, you've probably met her before. Naomi and Zion was with us as well. Was Sunday morning, we put on a church service. They don't, because they're kind of secluded, they don't really get to leave campus much for church. So what they do Sunday mornings for service is a lot of times they watch a documentary, which is so boring. I felt so bad when they told us that. I was like, what? So, or they'll stream a video. So we put on church service for them. Saturday night, we all were kind of, every night we kind of had a debrief together as a team to kind of go through what kind of encounters they had, what they were enjoying, what they weren't enjoying, what was worrisome to them or anything they needed to talk about. And when we got together, the sermon that we had planned for Sunday morning was about choices, choices that we make and how it impacts us, and then choices that other people make and how they impact us. And as we sat together as a team, I was like, you know what, guys, I'm kind of feeling like we shouldn't be talking about choices. And the teens were all like, yeah, don't talk. They hear this all the time. This is all they're hearing, especially the boarding school girls. They're here because of their choices, and this is what they're hearing constantly. So the teens all very much confirmed, no, you don't need to do that. You don't need to talk about choices. So we scrapped it, and Sunday morning kind of flew by the seat of our pants, and the service was it was totally that chance that we had to just kind of scrap everything that we had planned. We were highly dependent on what the Holy Spirit had planned, and it was such a smooth, morning. Cindy led worship, Zion and Andre Tintim from Crossroads, he played the cajon for us, and it was Ezra played some harmonica. Service just went so smooth, and we heard they were laughing, they were connected, there was so much engagement, and it really just solidified the connection. And I know after this trip that we all took, all of us, we can't not go back. We 100% will be going back. We're looking at the end of January, maybe being in February, but again, we just are so thankful for your support. And every prayer that was sent, every financial support, all the donations, everything that we got, you guys, there are so many grateful people up at that mountain whose hearts have been touched by your generosity, and we are so thankful that we could facilitate that trip and be a part of it. It was amazing, and we're going to definitely be doing it again.
And it wasn't just, it wasn't just the girls in the academy or the girls from the B3 cabin that were blessed by this, but also the staff and the people that are organizing and leading this program. A lot of times them as people that are doing the leadership of it, it can feel very isolating when you are doing this ministry that is really countercultural to where these girls are coming from. Like, there's a lot of stuff where, you know, even state organizational sort of entities are against a lot of faith-based programs like this. And so there's not a lot of support, and just kind of the isolation of just being away from where certain people, you don't want them to find you.
And sorry, Pastor Steve, one quick update, because I know we had mentioned before we went on the trip that the state of California was trying to put in a cease and desist order for the boarding school girls, or the boarding school side of it. They were calling it a group home. The state of California was trying to take control over everything. They were trying to shut it down. It was really a very scary thing. They had their court date on November 18th, and the judge found in favor of the facility. And it's not going to be shut down. And the judge actually said that she felt that, well, she said that the law found in favor of the state staying out of it, because that would impart on their religious freedoms to teach and to be a private Christian boarding school. So that was really great, great news. Big relief.
Well, thank you. Thank you, team, for all that you did. And obviously we're thankful for, you know, your hearts and all of this in sort of God drawing you forward in this way. And like we said before, this is not drive-by ministry. This is something that we want to be able to continue those relationships that you started and hopefully get a chance to foster. So I know you're already in discussions about going up at the end of January or February again, and we hope that God will bless this time. So thank you for sharing this morning. Let's give them a hand. I'd like to lead us in a time of prayer this morning. There's always a lot that we can be praying for, and it really can be center our life. Before we pray, I want to acknowledge that Huey's mom was scheduled to potentially have a stent procedure yesterday and sent out a prayer request, and they brought her in, and they went in to determine if a stent was needed, and they actually found out that one was not needed. It's really an amazing answer to prayer, so let's give glory to God. If we need to hear reminders of that prayer can actually change things, that God, through our prayers, is willing to change things, to change the outcome. And so if you're feeling down, let's lift our hearts to God right now. Father, we give you thanks. We thank you for the good work that you are doing and have done in Huey's mom, her body. We praise you so mightily for the way that you have healed her. God, I know that there are some here this morning who are in need of healing. Perhaps it's physical healing. Perhaps it's other forms of healing. Maybe there are some emotional things that are happening. Maybe there are some relationship things that are going on right now. Maybe there are circumstances that are seemingly out of control, and we don't know what to do. God, will you help us to fall to our knees and offer those requests to you? Even today, as we focus on Thanksgiving and being more mindful of all that we have received from you, we acknowledge that there are a lot of things that pull our mind in a different direction. I ask that you would be with those who are traveling this week, whether family is coming or people are going elsewhere. We pray for safety. We pray for renewed relationships. If there is brokenness in our families, will you do an amazing work to restore that brokenness, Lord? It's something that we can't do on our own, but we know that by the power of your Spirit, anything is possible. God, will you help grow us into the people that you would have us to be able to respond to your love, and to be able to respond outward to all those that you put into our path this week. God, I praise you for the people who are gathered here this morning. Will you bless them richly and abundantly? May they know and feel your love. May they go forth and be able to share that love outward. For it is in your strong and holy name we pray, O Jesus. Amen. The last 2 weeks, we were looking at the giving side of generosity. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the acts of joyful giving. We focused on the Old Testament, specifically looking at tithing as a spiritual discipline that helps us learn to see from God's perspective of abundance. We are prone to see from a perspective of scarcity, but God views everything from a perspective of abundance. And then last week, we looked at the attitudes of joyful giving, specifically in the New Testament, and some of those attitudes associated were intentionally, freely, and cheerfully giving. For 34 years, Lou Ann was a lady who worked as a flight attendant, but at the age of 58, she received a diagnosis of pancreatic cancer. It's a very aggressive cancer. And soon the mother of two and grandmother-to-be was making plans for the conclusion of her life. Her older brother was actually going to fly to see her, and when he saw the flight attendant who was on his flight, he realized that this flight attendant had been a colleague of his sister's. And he asked her if he could speak to the passengers on the plane. And amazingly, they said yes. And he got on the loudspeaker and he talked a little bit about his sister. He told her story of being a flight attendant for 34 years. He passed around his phone, which that takes some courage to do on an airplane, just so people could see a picture of her. And then he handed out napkins, those little napkins you get on the plane that they're kind of stingy with, and they give you one and it's about this big and kind of small. And he asked if people would write a little something for her. And when they collected everything back, they realized that 96 passengers on that plane responded. Some drew pictures. One man and the person next to him had taken not just their napkin, but some of those swizzle sticks that they give you, and they created flowers out of napkins and swizzle sticks. But mostly people wrote warm words. One person wrote, "Your brother made me love you, and I don't even know you." Another person wrote, "When I had two brain tumors, the favorite quote I received was, 'You're braver than you believe, stronger than you seem, and smarter than you think.'" Luann received those gifts and died later that year. But her brother never forgot the compassion that was shown to her that day. He said, "I'm just amazed that given the opportunity, even total strangers will reach out and show a lot of empathy and concern," he said. "I'm so, so grateful. All for that one little opportunity." As we've been looking at the acts and attitudes of giving, we know that joyful giving has many benefits. It has benefits for the giver, and it has benefits for the receiver. And sometimes those even overlap a little bit. 2 Corinthians 9, which we looked at a little bit last week, outlines some of this as Paul writes. But there's at least two things that joyful giving provides. And it's this: it provides for needs, and it gives glory to God. Paul writes this as much in 2 Corinthians, that when we give, yes, we are providing for people's needs. We're providing tangible help in some way. Maybe it's money, maybe it's resources, maybe it's our time, some other tangible gift. But the secondary, I don't want to even say secondary, the other benefit, and probably the greater benefit, is that this brings glory to God when we are givers. Let me read verses 12 through 15 from 2 Corinthians. It says this: "So two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God, for your generosity to them and to all believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. And they will pray with you with deep affection because of the overflowing grace God has given to you. Thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words." You see, for this church in Corinth, and we talked about this a little bit last week, they had become aware of a need, and they gave freely and joyfully, and they gave even beyond their ability in some cases, to address the real needs of people they've never met before. Some of you gave to support New Day, people that you've never met before, and yet you allowed other people to be that ministry of presence. While there were people up there doing work projects, Karen said that our team was focused mostly on relationships. That's a ministry of presence. It is so important for us to be engaging in that. For this church, they gave because some of their brothers and sisters who they had never met. Now remember, these were Gentiles in Corinth, non-Jews. They were giving to Jews, the Jewish church in Jerusalem, people that they weren't predisposed to even like. And yet they gave more or beyond their ability, freely. Why? Because they wanted to. Something had changed within their heart. Now, their joyful giving is just half the equation. Their joyful giving, it says, was met or received with joy by those fellow Christians in Jerusalem. You see, God receives glory both in the giving and in the receiving of gifts. In the act of generosity and your faithful and obedience to God, but also in what is received. See, when we receive gifts, we also can overflow with thanks to God. Paul calls it overflowing grace. That this overflowing grace, when you receive something, you can't help but respond in thankfulness to God. Somebody has helped. And you're so grateful. Now this year, this time of year especially, we're more mindful of this than perhaps other times of year. Obviously, we've got Thanksgiving coming up later this week, and you have many Thanksgiving traditions, I'm sure. Apparently, I learned that we are going to have a tofurkey for at least the one person who's visiting. I'm sorry. But I don't have to eat it, so praise be to God. But you also have many other Thanksgiving traditions, whether it's food, different family events. I know Rebecca's family, one of their Thanksgiving traditions is going bowling or finding a place to go bowling or something like that. And maybe you have other fun traditions that you and your family. Anyone have an unusual one that you just want to throw out there? Okay, that's not that unusual. Okay, not watching football. So Amy and Huey should both be at the same Thanksgiving dinner. All right. Obviously, we have lots of Thanksgiving traditions, but there is one tradition at Thanksgiving that helps us to see the heart of Thanksgiving. Which, ironically, the heart of Thanksgiving isn't our heart. It actually starts in our brain, and it's the actual word, which is giving of thanks. The heart of Thanksgiving is expressing gratitude for all we receive. And it's not meant to be just on Thanksgiving Day. This is meant to be an everyday, every moment occurrence for those who follow Jesus. Expressing gratitude for all we receive. Now, gratitude can be experienced in a lot of different ways, but there are two primary things that make it a little bit, I'm struggling to find the word, that make it easier for us to receive or be more grateful. It's when what we receive, it feels like the person put effort in, like the giver made a genuine effort. And then the second thing is whatever we receive feels like it actually meets something that's important to us, a need, some other thing that we value. And this deep awareness of all that we receive as people of God compels us to acknowledge our thankfulness in some tangible way. See, gratitude is not just a feeling. It's not just an emotion. It's always meant to be an expression that people can see and notice. It's an expression of what is already changed in our brain and that brain-heart connection. It's as simple as saying thank you when someone holds the door open for you, whether you think that that's appropriate in today's day and age or not, or as big as someone saving your life and just that profound connectedness you'll feel to that other person for the rest of your life. Some of you even have experienced that through the giving of organs and things like that. Gratitude has the power to reshape the very pathways in your brain. Your brain is not a static thing. You are not resigned to the way your brain is right now. Gratitude can change it. It can change your actual behaviors, and it can guide your actual steps as you live day by day. One study, researchers asked a group of people to keep a daily journal of things they were grateful for. So that was one group. There was another group that were asked to journal what annoyed them, or to give reasons why they were better off than other people. Doesn't that sound wonderful? So that was the other group. They got the short end of the stick in my view. But those who journaled what they were grateful for, when they collected all the data and kind of sifted through, they found four things. They had increased attention to the world around them. They had greater enthusiasm in the world. They had greater determination, and they had greater energy. Who doesn't want any of those four things? And this was just from one simple act of keeping a daily journal of what you were grateful for. Now, some people thought that maybe if I just think of ways that I'm better off than other people, or, well, it could always be worse. That was an opinion that some of the people in the study had, and they found out that that opinion actually had no lasting benefit. It didn't actually change anything. In fact, if anything, it made you feel worse to act that way. For people that struggled with the time of doing this every day, they found even a weekly gratitude journal to be beneficial. The discipline of writing it down actually influenced people's behaviors. They had improvements in exercise patterns. They even had reduced aches and pains in this study. I would love that. Other studies have found that showing gratitude is associated with reduced signs or symptoms or the amount of depression symptoms. And when combined with higher sleep quality, it's also led to a reduction in anxiety in some people just by showing more gratitude or being more aware of what you're thankful for. The development of gratitude within adolescents, teens, listen up. The development of gratitude also appears to offer a protective layer against adversity and traumatic events. Students who display gratitude within their personality or develop that were found to be more resilient to the negative effects of bullying. Gratitude doesn't stop bullying, but it can help protect you from the negative effects of it. And that's something certainly that we would definitely want, to be more resilient. And while brain research is just finding this out in the last 15 years or so, the Bible had it first. This is another good example of where science is, and I like science, but it's often playing catch up to some of the truths that we know, but maybe can't necessarily prove. The benefits of gratitude on our physical, emotional, mental, psychological, and spiritual health should not surprise us. For we were designed and created to be functional, one body. Body, mind, soul, spirit. Not pieces that we can separate apart. This is how God designed and created us. One phrase that I particularly like is embodied souls. And I actually heard the opposite, ensouled bodies. Kind of implying that we're not like something that can be subdivided or pulled apart into our different pieces. No, God designed us to be functionally whole. So what affects one part of us has an effect on all parts of us. This is how we were designed. The new heart that we receive by believing in Jesus actually reshapes our brains. It changes the very ways we live. Colossians 3 says it like this. Let me read verses 15 through 17. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. Let the message about Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. This is Jesus reshaping our brain through the new heart that he gives us. But friends, for us to be able to be thankful in all these ways, gratitude must find a home in your heart. It must have a safe haven, a refuge within your heart. If it does not, it is almost impossible to be thankful for anything. And the opposite of that is going down the path of bitterness and all those other... I'm not going to go down that path right now. When we recognize all that God has done and is doing, it allows the peace of God to rule our hearts. Our heart and our brain are in step. They're in sync. There's not like a loose wire or a loose connection. They're actually connected, guiding our steps, helping us to discern what are the correct decisions God wants us to make and take. Gratitude keeps us very close to the heart of God. What the Bible recognized and revealed all those years ago, modern brain science is now beginning to understand. That thanksgiving can actually have a transforming effect on you. How does this happen? Gratitude can literally rewire your brain and restructure your heart. And I'm using literally in the literally sense. not the way that we often hear literally used today. It actually can rewire the brain and restructure the heart. When I first read this, I didn't believe it. I wasn't sure that that's exactly what was going on. But what research is now finding is that when we practice expressing gratitude regularly, it is shown to keep us healthier and happier overall. When people wrote down those experiences of what they were grateful for, they found that the brain actually kept that experience or held on to that connection that was formed, those neural pathways, for as long as 3 months after writing down the experience of gratitude. It helped the brain actually to see more clearly around, to see acts of giving and be grateful for what it was able to see around. It's just amazing how complicated the brain is. Actual brain scans show new neural pathways growing just from this one study where people were writing out what they were grateful for. New brain connections formed from one simple act. You see, gratitude, they found, actually activates the part of our brain that releases dopamine, which is that kind of reward or pleasure brain chemical. It's that chemical that your brain says, ooh, I want more of that. And actually what happens when we do that is the brain starts to say, I want you to keep doing what you were just doing. Gratitude does that. Now, the opposite is true. That's why so many negative patterns and addictions are hard to break as well. It's your brain saying, yeah, keep on doing that. Gratitude is a way of reversing that and turning something that your brain can make into a bad thing into a good thing as God designed it. It's a way to engage your brain in a positive cycle. Now, they also found that it actually has changed the heart physically. The role of gratitude was studied among early heart failure patients. This just blew me away when I heard it. These were people that didn't show symptoms yet of heart failure. They were actually like pre-heart failure, and they had some of them start keeping a gratitude journal. And what they found is that they had a much reduced risk of developing full-blown heart failure. It actually lowered the chemicals that caused inflammation in their hearts. It's amazing. This is what the study author said. We found that those patients who kept gratitude journals for 8 weeks, 2 months, showed reductions in inflammation as well as an increase in heart rate variability. Improved heart rate variability is considered a measure of reduced cardiac risk. These people, by doing this one simple act, actually lowered their risk of going into heart failure. This is Paul Mills from UC San Diego. It seems that a more grateful heart, he said, is indeed a more healthy heart, and that gratitude journaling is an easy way to support cardiac health. Once again, brain science and health proving what we already know to be true through the Word of God. But gratitude requires practice. Like any good thing, it requires practice because we are easily forgetful. Our brains are actually wired to be forgetful because when we don't keep using those connections in our brain, we actually start to lose some of them. We see that in the Bible, that God keeps on working with people. Sometimes we ask, why is God so patient? Well, perhaps he made us, and he knows our brains, and he knows that we are prone to be forgetful, that we need his constant help. What they found is that, and I'm sorry, adults, but our brains actually continue to act like the brain of a small child through most of our life. It shows that we have a limited ability to focus. So yes, it's not just ADD or ADHD, that our brains actually have a hard time focusing. A child begins to cry, and what do? You redirect them with a hug, a toy, or a sucker. You come home from your job, you lost your job, or your job is draining, and what do? You redirect your brain by eating a good meal, and it kind of helps us not feel so bad about what's happening in our life. When it comes to gratitude, it's not easy to continue to stay grateful because our brains adapt to whatever is going on in our life. So we must practice. Who turned a key in their car today? Oh, unless you walked, okay, then this is going to fall flat for you. And some of you turned a key, some of you might, okay, some of you pressed the start button. I get that. But when was the last time we actually gave thanks that the wireless technology in this key fob works and praised the gift of the internal combustion engine? We might be thankful for the ability to have a car to get to work, but when's the last time we gave thanks for the person that took the time to develop that? Who here is only surviving because they had a cup of coffee this morning or a cup of tea? When's the last time we praised or thanked the person that works at the water treatment plant to make sure that we actually have clean drinking water so that we're not so grouchy? Or the person that picked those beans or leaves and crushed them so that we can enjoy good, good coffee. And the list goes on. We could go on and on about all different ways that help us practice being more grateful. The good news is that our brains also look to prove what we already know to be true. That means that as far as gratitude, the more we practice, the more our brains begin to look for more things to be grateful for. Because it's that positive, almost drug loop in our brain. When we're grateful, it releases dopamine. And our brain says, keep doing that. That's good for me. I like that. Giving thanks this week is a great start, and I encourage you to do that, especially on Thursday. But to reap the lasting benefits, we have to go beyond a simple or single Thursday. There are many ways for you to cultivate gratitude. I wanted to give you an opportunity today to share ways that you're grateful, or maybe if you have a particular practice of showing gratitude that's been very helpful or beneficial for you. Because one of the things that I like to encourage in our church is that we help grow one another. So in this time, and you don't have to come up if you don't want to, but if you'd like to, I want to give you an opportunity to share ways that you're giving thanks today, things that you can be grateful for. Yeah, Huey. Thank you for sharing. Other things that you're thankful for or grateful for today? Yeah, Roxy.
For new baby, new living space.
New baby, new living space, yes. Doting grandparents doing their duty and paying for things. What a wonderful thing to be grateful for, yes. Ray.
I'm thankful for my wife. I don't want to embarrass her, but she's been very patient with me. And I still reflect upon the time when, back in 2012, when I wasn't working full time and seeing me go through the sort of areas of depression, go through job loss. I mean, but just very thankful.
Thanks for sharing, Ray. Yeah, Stacy.
So I saved us. Mm-hmm. But it was all at once, and
Thank you, Stacy, for sharing that. Rewiring and restructuring is often painful. Yes. Anyone else? Yeah, David. I'm grateful someone thought to bring Kleenexes today. That's a good call.
So it's just been very grateful that just
a family.
Yeah.
Thanks for sharing. Ezra.
I'm grateful for the church and the families and the friends that surround us, as Karen and I are part of the youth ministry, and it's there's some times that are very challenging where it's just really hard, and we've got a lot of encouragement and a lot of support from multiple churches and families and friends, and not just that, but also even people that used to be in previous youth groups that are also supporting and encouraging us, because of our involvement in their lives and stuff. So it's really just really feels great to have so much support around us, of encouragement mostly, and also more people to celebrate with us when we do have successes and real high points in ministry, and we couldn't do it without everyone around us.
People that cheer us on, or like you mentioned at New Day, everybody needs a hype person. Yeah, hype us up. Yeah. Karen.
I wanted to say that I'm really thankful for Pastor Amy for the foundation that she's giving our kids. I'm not saying that as a ministry partner. I'm saying as a mom. You're not just teaching our kids the head knowledge of who God is. You're instilling in them the love, and you model it. And it's thank you. Stacy started it. the things that they're learning, it's not just about who Jesus was, but as his actions, but his heart, and I see that in them, and I'm just so incredibly grateful for how God's gifted you and how you're obedient to his call to serve, because I feel like I am directly benefiting from it, and I just love your heart, and I love that you're teaching our kids so many things. They have a great foundation because of you.
Well, I was just getting ready to say how thankful I am for our teachers, the kids, and our leaders, and our crew for how they pour into. I give them a lesson plan, and then they go. And these girls in the back here, who did, yes, you, Laura, Lila, and Angie, and Alana, and just all of the extra time and energy and laughter that they put into helping that happen. Our kids are lucky, and I feel like my job is easy because God has gifted this church with these people.
There's this good cycle, of giving and receiving. It has this. It can be a positive feedback loop. Yeah, thank you for sharing. We're going to be praying in just a moment, and I found this quote by Maya Angelou, and she said, "People may forget what you said, people may forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. People may forget what you said, they may forget what you did, but they will never forget how you made them feel. When gratitude has a home in our heart, we are transformed, body, mind, soul, and spirit, more and more into the image of God as he created us to be." Psalm 118:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love, you know what kind of love that is, hesed, endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. I'm thankful to my mom this morning who woke me up with a text from Psalm 118 that said, "This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." And some picture that is so small I can't really see it too well, but I'm grateful for it anyways. Friends, let's pray. God, we give you thanks. We give you thanks, for you are indeed good. All that we have, all that we have been given, all that you have made us to be is a gift. Sometimes we don't like that. Sometimes we aren't particularly grateful. But I pray that you, in these moments, and as we've heard the stories that people have shared, may draw our hearts closer to you, that we might be grateful for all that you have done and be transformed by the power of that love, the power of that relationship that you desire for us. God, we give you thanks. We praise you. In the name of Jesus, amen. God is indeed with you. He's in this place. He's never left. And now as you prepare to go, may God be with you as you go. May he guide your steps. May he richly bless you this week. May he help you to be a blessing to all those that you meet, especially those people that you'll meet on Thursday, perhaps, that you may not always get along with or agree with. May you be gracious to them as God has been gracious to you. Amen, church.